Well, good morning. And I just want to say welcome to everybody who's watching online. We're glad you're choosing to be with us today. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Jorgensen. I am serving as interim pastor here at Timberwood during this transition time as they are in the process of looking for a new pastor, and it's a delight for us to be here. It's been kind of a good week for us this last week, and in some ways, we were involved in a discipleship school for Native Americans up on the Leech Lake Reservation up until last Sunday. Last Sunday, we had our graduation for our students, and with that, our service with that school ended. Because we were involved with that school, we could only be here 2 days a week, and now we're going to be here 4 days a week. We'll be here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I love getting together with people. I really do. And, you know, if you want to drink coffee, I want to drink coffee. Let's drink coffee and talk until our vision goes blurry, okay? I mean, it'll be a good time, and I will be around and would be glad to sit down with you. We've been working our way through a section of Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, and it was supposed to get passed on to other churches as well. Wrote it from prison, and we're really talking about the whole idea of being real, because ultimately, I don't want to be fake. I'm not interested in that, and I'm not interested in being part of a club. I want to know Jesus. And I want to experience Jesus, and my assumption is that most all of us here want the very same thing. And so we've been talking about what it means to really experience Jesus and really know Jesus. And we started out in Colossians 3:10 talking about just the basic, the foundation, which is I understand that if I know Jesus, I'm chosen and I'm holy and I'm dearly loved. I'm chosen by God. I'm chosen by the King of the universe. I'm holy. I've been set apart for a specific purpose. And I'm dearly loved by God. The Greek word for that is agape, which means unconditional love, which means that there's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us any less. And out of that, then, everything else flows. Out of that relationship. And it goes on and talks about, because I am chosen, because I'm holy, and because I'm dearly loved, I can be compassionate because I've received compassion. And I can be kind because I've received kindness. And I can be humble because everything comes to me from God. I don't earn any of it. I can be gentle because I don't need power to get my way. And I can be patient because God is patient with me. And out of those virtues, then, it goes on and it talks about how we're to bear with one another in love. Give each other some space. Give each other some slack. It goes on and says, forgive whatever grievances someone might have against you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that's a good thing for all of us to think about. How did God actually forgive me? What did I bring to the table when God forgave me? And it goes on after that. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Oh, one other thing. It says, bind it all together with love. Because love, the loving God and loving people is what's going to drive it all. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since you were called to peace in one body. The peace of Christ, knowing I have peace with God, at least according to the Bible, because of what Jesus did on the cross, and of course we've got a model of it right back here, because of what Jesus did on the cross, I've got a relationship with God. There's nothing in the way. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, he has brought us together, even though we were very different. Instead of being annoyed by the variety that I find in people, I can enjoy it and be enriched by it. All those things are true. And then it goes on, it's three little words, and be grateful. I read that, the way that was put in there, I immediately thought of an 8-year-old who was given a sweater for his birthday when he wanted a Nintendo Switch. And of course, you know the look on the face, and they see a sweater, And then what do the parents say? And what do you say to grandma? Thank you. Being forced to say thank you, which really isn't thanks. It's kind of just fake. And how do you be thankful? And I noticed a couple things about that. I noticed, first of all, it doesn't say, and say thank you, which is what we often do with kids. Make sure you say thank you to grandma. It says, be thankful. In other words, have this attitude, have this feeling. And as I thought about it more and looked at the Word of God, I realized thanks is simply a response to something else. Thanks is a response to my understanding of what someone has done for me. It's always a reaction. And when we're not thankful, it could be that we're not thankful because we really don't understand what has been done. And so I started thinking today, do I live in a culture that is marked by thanks? Not all the time. Sharon and I were in Los Angeles this last week. I drove on the highways there. Not a lot of thanks on the highways in Los Angeles. Basically, you take your life in your hands and hope you survive. So how can I be thankful? And then why should I be thankful? And that's what we're going to focus on today. How can I be thankful? I believe thanks starts with knowing who God is. In fact, if you got your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and in verses 20 and 21, it says this, and it's talking about God. In fact, I'm going to start in verse 19 instead. It says this, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, that's what he does, and divine nature, that's who he is, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." Our God is an amazing God. Our God does incredible things. He created everything we know of. He holds it all together by the power of his word. As I mentioned, we were out in Los Angeles. We went up to the Griffith Observatory. They got a planetarium there. I love planetariums, okay? It's a great place for a nap, but I also love astronomy, okay? I really do. And they just did this sort of general show about the universe and how many galaxies there were, which is a ridiculous number of galaxies, and each galaxy has a ridiculous number of stars. And I'm laying there, and I'm looking at this stuff, and it's not putting me to sleep. I'm just going, man, oh man, oh man. I'd kind of forgotten this. It's not that I didn't know it. I just sort of forgot it. That God steers all these things. And then they started talking about something else. They said, but this isn't everything in the universe. There's something called dark matter, because the universe doesn't behave the way shouldn't behave the way it's behaving given the number of stars in the universe. Now, I don't pretend to understand all that. They say there's got to be something else there, but we can't see it, we can't measure it, we can't feel it, we can't smell it. We don't know what it's like, but we know it has to be there. And then I'm thinking about what Hebrews says. God holds everything together by the word of his power. Boy, I like that. That's our God. And just even looking around here, we see all the things he does. But you see what he does in us, and the incredible variety, the incredible creativity that he does, and how he lets us experience all this and know all this, and then he works in our lives. And we see this in so many ways. I sent out an email last week about a little incident we had in Walker, Minnesota, as we were driving home on Monday night, where somebody, I don't know, for some reason they thought that our lane was like their lane, but they were coming from the other way. And praise God, at that particular spot, their car was in our lane, we were on the shoulder, Sharon was driving, which is why we're still here, and Leech Lake was right there, okay? And yet in the middle of all that, God took care of us. And I'm thankful. And you know, I like telling that story. So you'll probably hear it. You'll probably roll your eyes as I tell that story. But that's okay. Because I think we need to be talking about the things that God has done for us, because that helps us be thankful. And I would just encourage you right now, think back in your life. Think back to the times when you say, yeah, God stepped in. God helped me. God did something for me. And it's good for us to remember those things. That's why I love coming here and worship as well, because we get reminded again about the things that during the week we just forget. how good God is to us. You say, wait a minute here. What about the car accidents that do happen? What about the diagnoses that come back with bad news? What about those things? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 does say to be thankful in everything, in all circumstances, but man, that's tough. That's hard. How do you do that? Do we need to do that? Well, the Word of God says we should, but maybe it's all just a matter of perspective. Maybe it's a matter of looking at it. I want to introduce you to some friends of Sharon's and mine. It's Russ and Barb Felt and their daughter Amy. Yeah, that's them. Let me tell you a little bit about their story. Russ grew up in a family where Dad was a drunk and ran a bar, and Russ experienced a lot of tough things with his dad. Barb's dad was killed in a tractor accident when she was a girl. They got married. They had a bunch of kids. One of those kids was killed in a car accident where Barb was driving. Can you imagine that, being a mom and being in a car accident and your son dies? She experienced that. And then they had Amy. Amy was born with Down syndrome. And shortly after Amy was born, it wasn't very long, she was still a baby, Amy developed leukemia. And they went down that road and that adventure and lots of trips to Children's Hospital in Minneapolis. And then there were the challenges of raising a child with Down syndrome and teaching them just basic skills and those kinds of things and dealing with a school district, which wasn't always easy, and all that kind of stuff. And I remember one day in particular, we're about 8:30 at night, we got a phone call that said, can you come and help us? Amy's gone and the four-wheeler's gone. They lived about 4 miles out of town on a farm in the country. And so we all, you know, all hands on deck, and we went out and we started looking for Amy in that four-wheeler. Fortunately, they got a phone call from McDonald's in town. They said, your daughter's here, and she would like some French fries. Should we give her French fries? Which is better than being in the ditch someplace. Then Amy contracted Lyme's disease. And all those skills they had spent years teaching her began to disappear. And she lost the ability to eat. She lost the ability to dress herself. It was almost like just her brain was shutting down. And we went through them. We went with them through that whole experience. And in the middle of all that, I remember talking with Russ, praying with Russ, listening to Russ. And you know what the thing that Russ kept saying in all of that? He kept saying, our God is the King of the universe. Our God is the King of the universe. He had chosen in the middle of all that to do what Colossians 3:1 says to do. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And he chose not to simply look at the circumstances, but to look to Jesus. Praise God, he brought them through it. Amy's 30 now. They had to really fight when it came to the Lyme's disease. It's not like when you're praising and thanking God, you can just kick back and do nothing. I mean, they really had to go at it with the medical system, but they did it. Then they had to figure out how to get her to stop pulling out her PICC line. I mean, all those things they had to deal with, but they did it. And people will talk to Barb and they will say, you know, isn't this hard? Isn't this difficult? Don't you feel like you're missing out on something? People aren't always thinking when they say things, and that's okay. We're all like that. And she said, well, she answered that question so many times, was no, this is a gift, that she finally wrote a book called Chosen for This Gift. Amy's the gift. And she said, we have learned so much about life and so much about God through our daughter Amy. And they could view it from that perspective. And many times it's simply a matter of choosing to view the circumstances that I am in, which may be very difficult, I'm not going to deny that, but view it from the standpoint of there is a God in heaven, he is the King of the universe, he has chosen me, he's called me to be holy, and he loves me with an unconditional love, and he is at work in all of this. And because of that, I can thank him for this, even though I don't necessarily see what's going on. Last week, we had sort of our final project for our students. They had to lead a Bible study. And one of our students chose Jesus calming the storm. Okay, and they had to lead us in the Bible study. This is Mark. Now, I've led a Bible study on that passage, I don't know how many times, like, I don't know, 200 times. I have no idea, really. I don't know. But then she started pointing out things that I honestly had never seen before. She said, first of all, she said, Jesus knew that storm was coming. Yeah, okay, we got that. He's Jesus. Said, but here's the deal. Four of those guys were fishermen. They knew the storm was coming, and Jesus made them cross that lake at night. Ever been in a storm on the lake at night in a small boat? I have. It's terrifying. And yet Jesus chose to take them through that experience because those 12 guys at the end of that experience could go to people and say, you know what we saw? We were in the middle of this storm and the boat was sinking and Jesus was sleeping and he got up and he said, peace, be still. And boom, it was still. Because here's the deal. When God takes us through these circumstances, as difficult as they may be, he gives us the opportunity to share something with others about who he is and his character. It's about his kingdom. And we get to be partakers in what he is doing. And that's reason to be thankful. And maybe here's a thing to think about, the things we've experienced with Jesus. Who could I tell about it? I'm going to be telling people about the car in the wrong lane and Walker for a long time. Okay, again. In fact, I'm a little older. I forget who I've told. If I start telling you and I've already told that, I've already heard this. Okay, go move on to something else. That's fine. Not a problem. It's okay. I got more stories. You know, but there's something else that we need to understand is that we have a God. We have a God who gives us hope. And I was reminded of this in a really odd way in Los Angeles. Don't put the picture up yet, okay? I'm going to set it up. I hope you didn't put it up. If you've been to Los Angeles, you know, it's full of lawyer billboards everywhere, okay? Nothing but, you know, injury and accident, and we're going to get you a lot of money, and we're going to fight for you, and blah, 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 and all this. And these billboards are everywhere, okay? We happened to see one billboard that just grabbed our attention. You can show it now. Show that picture. I'm going, are you kidding me? Somebody put that on a billboard? Obviously, he is not a personal injury attorney. This is a criminal defense attorney. At first, I laughed about it, kind of like some of you did. But the more I looked at it, I said, don't lose hope. In other words, there is hope. Why? Because our God is the King of the universe. And our God can do whatever he pleases. And I started thinking about hope. What's the difference between hope and wishful thinking? It's the best I can come up with. Probably somebody here can come up with a better definition. But as I thought about hope, I thought hope is simply thanks pushed forward. Instead of thanking God for what he's done, I'm thanking God for what he's going to do or what he's doing right now. And I just don't see it yet. Back to that storm on that lake. One of the other things that our student pointed out to me was this, is that there were other boats with them. They weren't the only boat. They weren't the only boat. There were other. They didn't have Jesus sleeping in the boat. They were just out there in the storm, and all of a sudden, boom, it got calm. What was that? We don't always know what God is doing, and yet he has promised us he will never leave us or forsake us. And I can hang on to that. I can hang on to that. Even though the circumstances are not what I would like them to be, I can hang on to the fact that my God is the King of the universe and he does whatever he pleases and he has chosen me and he's called me to be holy and he loves me with an unconditional love. And I can thank him for that. And knowing that and focusing on that causes me to be thankful. But there's also a place for expressing thanks. And I want to take you to Psalm chapter 50. Verse 23 says this, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Got that? Offering thanksgiving as a sacrifice? Yeah, it's saying thank you.
but not mumbling thank you because somebody said, what do you say? But rather honestly taking the time to think about it and reflect on it and respond to it, kind of like what Lee and the band called us to do this morning, which is a marvelous thing, to say thank you to God. We honor God when we do that, whether it's in a room like this or when we're out on our own on the lake or in the Paul Bunyan Trail or wherever it might be, we honor God. But it goes on, it says this, to one who orders his way rightly, which is being thankful, I will show the salvation of God. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The word for salvation is Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew pronunciation of the word Jesus. When Mary would have called Jesus in to wash the dishes or sweep the floor or whatever it might be, she would not have said Jesus. That's a Latinized version of the name. She would have said Yeshua. And you do that, you substitute that name in there, to him I will show Jesus. And as we are thankful, and as we express thanks, we have an opportunity to experience Jesus, perhaps in new ways. Isn't that what this is all about? It's about experiencing Jesus. And knowing Jesus better, and loving him more, and following him, and it's all about him. And the crazy thing about it is the more we experience Jesus, the more we experience things where we can be thankful. And the more we expect thanks, the more we experience Jesus. And it just goes in a circle. And I want to just encourage all of us not to settle. To settle for simply, for lack of a better term, being in the club. But to really seek to know Jesus and experiencing him. One of the things I've noticed is that people love to talk about other people's experiences with Jesus. And I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. We pass those things on, that's good. But how about this? How about we have our own experiences with Jesus that somebody else talks about? How about that? That sounds pretty good. Because then God gets the glory. And the kingdom of God grows. And it starts when people are thankful. So, I would just encourage each one of us, when we get the sweater instead of the Nintendo Switch, to maybe do some thinking about, okay, I wanted the Nintendo Switch right now, but you know what? November's coming. And maybe in the plan, when I need more is the sweater than the switch at this point. Let's take some time right now and let's do this. Let's ask God to show us what he wants us to do. And I also want to mention, we will be celebrating communion today. We will be remembering what Jesus did for us. And everyone who's a follower of Jesus is invited to take part. We do ask that you come forward. You will receive bread, which is gluten-free, and grape juice, which is non-alcoholic. So we invite you to take part. We would ask, I want to make sure I get this right now so I don't goof this up. Would ask that you come up on the aisles out here, sort of these two aisles, and then go back on the outside or down the middle aisle. That'll keep people from running into each other. And if for some reason you aren't able to come forward, we just raise your hand and someone will bring you the elements, because we want everybody to take part. We want everybody to remember. But let's take some time to prepare ourselves and maybe ask Jesus, based on everything I just heard, what do you want me to do? And I'll listen to him and see what he says. And maybe thank him for the fact that he speaks. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the fact that you meet each of us right where we're at. Some of us, things are going really well, and that's great. We thank you for that. Some of us are going through difficulties, and while we don't thank you for the difficulties, we do thank you that you are with us and you are at work. And I simply pray that you will help us to see what you are doing and to focus on you. And our response will be our thanks for all that you have done for us and for all that you're doing and simply for who you are. Praise you, Father, for your goodness. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.